I'm Beata Dubinsky. I'm a research assistant in the Department of Social Sciences and Health Policy at the Wake Forest School of Medicine, and I'm going to be talking about characteristics of local social host ordinances in a sample of municipalities from 22 U.S. states. So I'd like to recognize my co-authors, and this project was supported by funding from OJJDP. I have no conflicts to disclose. So I'm going to talk about why are we interested in social host ordinances, provide some background on the study that this comes from, talk about the details of our current analysis, provide results, and some implications for future work. So what is a social host ordinance? So it holds individuals responsible for underage drinking events on property they control. I'll get more into the details further, but just as a brief sample, so this is somebody who owns, rents, leases, controls a property, and we'll look at some of the different features that are described in ordinances. This is just a sample. Social host laws apply without regard to who furnishes the alcohol. So as Alicia mentioned, furnishing laws are fairly ubiquitous, and but this takes it a different step and addresses the setting. And the purpose is to address underage drinking parties. So we want to see a decrease in the number of parties, smaller size, and fewer consequences as a result of them. We've seen a proliferation of social host laws at the state level and ordinances at the local level, probably over the past decade. So we have, as of last year, 28 states had a social host law. 2009 data showed that over 150 jurisdictions had passed a social host ordinance, so we can imagine that the number has grown since then. And why are we interested in pursuing these? So we have anecdotal reports of their effectiveness. So law enforcement agencies in communities that have a social host ordinance have reported that they are useful tools in addressing underage drinking parties. The vast majority of citations for violations are for first offenses. I think it was 3 to 5% are repeat offenders, so that suggests that it's a deterrent for future offenses. And passage of a show results in fewer calls for service for law enforcement over time. So this was demonstrated by looking at data from prior to passage of the ordinance following. There has been limited research so far. What has been published has demonstrated that communities with social host ordinances have fewer large underage drinking parties, and that underage drinkers in communities that have stricter social host ordinances are less likely to drink at parties compared to those drinkers from communities without shows. So this data comes from a study whose overall aim is to investigate the impact of the policy and enforcement environment on key indicators of underage drinking. So it's combining data from several rounds of an OJJDP-funded national evaluation and a subsequent trial, which collected survey data of youth behaviors and law enforcement activities in 272 communities across 22 states. In addition, we've been compiling local policy information, collecting motor vehicle crash data, and local community characteristics from the census data. For our policy data, we collected policies, ordinances from 265 towns and cities and 213 counties for almost a total of 500 jurisdictions. Our goal is to have city and county policy information for each of these communities. We searched municipal websites, ordinance repositories, and when ordinances were unavailable online, we tried to contact local officials. Once we had either collected materials from online or if we were able to get responses, we applied a search strategy that we had tested to try and pull all of the alcohol ordinances that were included. We've uploaded the text of the results and have been coding for presence of policies in vivo. So I'll go into each one of these characteristics a bit, but these are the results that I'll be presenting on today. So these are the characteristics of shows that we're interested in. So showing again the example from earlier, we're interested in who was the host, who's determined to be responsible for the event. So this can be, again, someone who owns, rents, leases, or controls the property. They can be in charge of the property in one way or another. Or they may have organized the event, and depending on the ordinance, they may or may not have needed to be present. We're also interested in the gathering size. So, for example, in this community, it was specified to be two or more people is considered to be a gathering. We're looking at the property type. So these generally fall into categories of residences, outdoor private property, and public property, as well as hotel and motel rooms, properties that can be leased. But we can also find specific examples, such as in this ordinance, that indicates homes, yards, farms, fields, etc. We're also interested in whether the ordinance has a knowingly clause. So as in the highlighted box, it states that the responsible person knows or reasonably should have known that the underage person was consuming alcohol. But we're also interested in whether the ordinance specifies that that individual's presence on the property is sufficient to demonstrate that they knew of the alcohol. We'll look at exculpating factors. So these can range, as in this example, anything from the responsible individual checking IDs, trying to take alcohol away, or in a more strict situation, actually requiring that that individual has tried to contact law enforcement or local officials to let them know of the event. And then finally, we'll look at civil and versus criminal laws and the penalties associated with them. The reason we're really interested in this is that civil penalties do not carry jail time and they don't go on a criminal record. They've been reportedly easier to enforce, or they may be easier to enforce because there's a lower burden of proof of a host responsibility and there's lesser penalties. And then we've seen sort of combinations or hybrids of these types of ordinances that have offered different levels of civil or criminal depending on the offense. So we found in our sample that 64 jurisdictions did have a social host ordinance, so that was 13.4%. The majority of these were cities or towns, with almost 20% of cities, all cities and towns having a show, and fewer than 10% of counties had one. These were found in half of the states in our sample. So we found five categories that we created. So there's our first two categories are ordinances that only provide for civil penalties or ordinances that only provide for criminal penalties. So we found that 18 jurisdictions had sort of a civil-only structure, so that was just under 30% of all of the ordinances, but the majority were sort of criminal-only provisions. And then we did find several of these sort of hybrid examples. So these are listed sort of in increasing or subsequent offenses. So civil penalties for the first two offenses, and then a subsequent offense would be a criminal penalty associated with it. Second hybrid, first civil, then two criminal, or subsequent offenses would then have criminal penalties. Or there's also a third hybrid in some communities where there's the option of either a civil or a criminal penalty, regardless of the offense. But in total, these only made up six of the jurisdiction's ordinances. So looking at the actual penalty amounts for each of these, for civil only type penalties ranged from sort of an exact penalty amount of $90, ranging to a provision of up to $1,000 in fines. And then for those, there are two communities where it was provided for increasing or subsequent offenses. And as you can see, the fine maximum increased. And in these communities, there were also four that provided for collection of response recovery costs. So these are funds to cover the cost of salaries of law enforcement officials or emergency personnel, the cost of responding to the event. For our criminal-only type, we saw quite a range in the fines. And to clarify, the reason that most ordinances that were classified as criminal-only carried jail time or were specified to be misdemeanors or infractions. So again, we see this large range in the fines, and then similarly quite a span in the range of jail time, so up to 15 days, up to a year for the first offense, and then subsequent offenses, that the range gets smaller. 8 of the sort of criminal-only communities provided for response recovery costs. Several of them specify up to $1,000 or up to $2,000, but others don't indicate the maximum amount that can be collected. So in our hybrids, as we can see, there's only jail time that's provided for third or subsequent offenses, and an increasing fine scale with no provision for recovering response costs. For our second hybrid that we saw, jail time for second and third offenses, but sort of a set fine amount. And then our last hybrid, again, this is the one where at each offense there's the option of either a civil or a criminal penalty. So we see a wide range in the civil fine amount, a pretty set criminal fine amount, and then up to 6 months in jail. So going back to our characteristics of whether or not a knowingly clause is included and what are factors that can exculpate someone of responsibility, we see that 53 of all of the shows do include some sort of a knowingly provision. So there is a high number of these are civil-only categories that do include a knowingly provision, which is sort of weakens the ordinance in a way because it increases the burden of proof. However, there's a really interesting difference in the provisions for exculpating factors. So a far higher proportion of criminal-only ordinances provided exculpating factors, almost three-quarters, whereas only 12.5% of those civil ordinances or a civil category provided for them. And then a similar number included provisions for presence on the property being considered prima facie evidence. So you sort of summarize into kind of two host categories. So first, sort of a person who owns, rents, leases, or otherwise controls or is in charge of the premises. This individual was considered to be a host in over 90% of the ordinances. And then an organizer, supervisor, or someone who otherwise controls or is responsible for the gathering was in 60%. The minimum gathering size was specified in 43 jurisdictions, and the size range was a minimum of 1 to 10 people with an average of 2 to 8, or 2.8. Property types we summarized in the three categories I mentioned before, so residences. These were, the ordinances were applicable to residences in all 64 of our cases. Outdoor property, ordinances applied to outdoor property in 75% of our jurisdictions, and then other property, and that's again either public or hotel or motel rooms, was specified in, again, almost three-quarters of our jurisdictions. So just wanted to comment on sort of the overlap between the second and third categories. So 36 ordinances applied to both outdoor and other properties. There are 22 that only applied to either, and there were 6 ordinances that only applied to residential properties. So this is a feature that emerged as we were coding that we wanted to note. So ordinances in 18 of the jurisdictions address underage alcohol consumption or use of other controlled substances by minors at gatherings. And so we saw this as an interesting built-in way to address marijuana use by underage individuals as legalization spreads. Just in summary, so this is the first study that describes characteristics of a sample of shows, and we've seen an encouraging trend of local communities using social host ordinances to address underage drinking parties. We did have some areas of possible concern with this sample, so we did see many criminal ordinances, and knowingly provision was very commonly included, and we often saw broad exculpating factors that were not as specific as requiring the individual to have contacted law enforcement officials. So there is obviously the need for continued assessment of the effectiveness of these ordinances and their various features, so we'd like to see more collection of law enforcement data in communities that do have shows, and we have a current opportunity to look at the impact on behavioral data and local calls for service with a prospective randomized trial called Evaluating Community-Driven Strategies to Prevent Underage Drinking Parties, in which communities, 12 of our intervention communities, have the opportunity to kind of pursue a whole host of strategies, but 11 of them have decided to pursue the passage of a show, so we look forward to seeing the results of that. Just want to acknowledge all the individuals that helped collect our 500 communities ordinances, and thank you very much.